This week on Yud Zayin Shvat is the Yortzeit of Yechazka from Kashmir. And we say that name, Yechazka from Kashmir. We're talking about which dynasty? Mudgets. Specifically Mudgets. Einiklach of Yechazka from Kashmir. From Mishol, the Devi Yisrael. But Lechavich and Slonim also. It's at the Talmidim. They come from Yechazka from Kashmir, and he's quoted very, very often and seen as like a Roish. And that means that we're going back to the Talmud of the Magid. It was the Talmud of the Magid from Mezrich, Magid from Kashmir, and the great Tzaddikim of the time. His father was a Tzaddik Nister. And he was known for his shiflus, and he was a Baruch HaKadosh Mefursim. Some stories. There was once a woman who came to him on Shabbos morning while they were sitting by Tish, and they were saying, Asadu Sudasa, Askinu Sudasa, Asadu Sudasa. So she opened up the door in the Bahala, and she said, Rabbi, my son, he was sitting like a regular person and he fell off the bed and he can't talk anymore. He lost his koyach hadibur. So the Rebbe said, just give him an apple. Give him an apple, it'll be okay. So she did. She gave him an apple and then right away his koyach hadibur came back. So the chassidim were like, just give him an apple. Like, no. What happened? So he said that I was in the middle of saying Asadu Sudasa. And it says the words there, Tegalun Piskamen V'Seimrin Chidusha, which means to speak words and to talk Chidusha. It's the ability of the Koyach HaDibur. So he said, I noticed that it's Rosh HaTeva, it's Tapuach. Tegalun Piskamen V'Seimrin Chidusha. On the spot. He said, give an apple. And the child had her food. The chassid who had a big gagun to be by his rabbi, by the rebbe, didn't have any money for the journey. So he said, what am I going to do to get money? So his farm weren't that available in those days, so he had a set of medrash, which was very precious to him. And he sold his medrash in order to come to the rebbe. And on the journey, he was beside himself. He says, what am I going to learn over Shabbos? He thought that his mamash gave away his precious medrash. So when he came to the Rebbe and he said Shalom Aleichem that he came, so the Rebbe looked at him and he said, Leha Medjesh Hua Iker Ela Hamaisa. The first thing he said, Leha Medjesh Hua Iker Ela Hamaisa. He once came to a town for Shabbos and he instructed that they put a lot of food out for the Chassidim and Friday night, and Shabbos morning, and Shabbos Shuddis, there was an overflow of food, and there was so much left over. So they said, what should we do with this food, Rabbi? He says, what do you mean? Malav HaMalka. Baruch Hashem, here we have fresh food, Malav HaMalka, we don't need the leftovers. Malav HaMalka. There was one Yid who came, and he challenged the Rabbi. He says, I understand, you're wasting all this food. Even after Malav HaMalka, there's not going to be enough mouths to feed with all this food. So the Rebbe said to him, he said, you could have given all this money you could have spent to feed Aniyim. So the Rebbe said to him, I'll prove to you that the food which was bought in order that Hasidim should get together with the Rebbe and to speak Dvarim of Yerushalayim and Avodas Hashem is more chashav than giving tzedakah. Because if you take a look at how the Torah breaks up the Maisers, he says for year one, year two, you give Maiser Sheni, and year three, you give Maiser Ani. And that repeats itself. Year four, year five, Maiser Sheni. And year six, Maiser Ani. He says, what is Maiser Sheni? You have to bring fruits, money to Yerushalayim, Yerak Kodesh, and you have to eat. What do you think? They're just sitting on the floor in the shuk somewhere and they're eating? They would come to the tzaddikim, they'd be tishin, and the Rebbe would eat with them and they would share the desire and they would sing Zmiris. What do you think you do in Yerushalayim? That's what you do in Yerushalayim. And the Torah says that the first 2 years, that's what you do. Maaser Sheni. says when chaver comes together with a Rebbe and they sit and they sing zmiras and they share the b'tayra, it's an inyan and ma'aser sheni. And that has kadim over ma'aser ani. It's 2-1 and it comes first. I would just add a stickle oimik to that, is that if ma'aser sheni is done properly, if it's done properly, then there won't be any ma'aser ani the next year. There was a Yidden who was coming to Kashmir, and on the road, so his wagon got stuck in the mud. And you know, it wasn't in those days he had cell phones, or you know, it's big tzaro when you're stuck in the mud, a journey somewhere. So all of a sudden, he's looking in the distance, he sees a wagon coming, and he looks up, and this man says, "Can I help you?" He says, "Sure." He takes a look at his face, and he notices it. And then he comes to Kashmir, his first time to the Rebbe, and he says, "Rebbe," he says, "this is the face. This is the face of the person who came to help me." So the Rebbe said, no, it wasn't me. "Yeah, I sent him to you. Because my Rebbe has to know if a chassid is coming to him. But sim shlucho shalom kaboso, so he looked like me." Which was speaking about horses and wagons. So he said a vertel. He said that drinking wine, making a lechayim, he said, it's like a lever. Not like a lever. Lift things up with. He says, if you have a wagon and horses and it gets stuck in the mud, so chacham will come with a lever, and he'll lift up the wagon and the horses out. So it says, but a chassid sees that and he says, "Oh, levers are very helpful." So he says, "Perhaps if I have to go from point A to point B, I can also use a lever." So before he goes on his journey, he puts down a lever and he puts all the horses on the lever and he starts rolling the lever and he's not going anywhere. He says, "What's going on? I thought levers are very helpful." He says, the same thing is true with the l'chaim. He says, if a person is stuck in a pit somewhere, he's in a rut, so he needs a lever, so he drinks a l'chaim to take him out. But if a person is traveling from point A to point B and he wants to grow in his avodas Hashem, so lever's not going to work. You understand? You have to toil. You have to work hard. You have to work in your avodas Hashem. He was once davening next to a yid, and he saw that he was rushing after his Shemona Esrei. He was rushing very quickly to like end davening, you know, to Ashrei Valetzion and Aleinu, wrapping it up. So he came over to him afterwards, and he said, I don't know if you noticed, but in our Siddur, at the top over here, it says in Siddurim, and not all Siddurim does it have this, but in the more Kabbalish ones, it says that after Shemona Esrei, that whole chelik of the Siddur is called Yiridas HaShefa. Like that's when the Shefa comes down. So you have to work your way up to Shemona Esrei, and then after Shemona Esrei, that's where the brachas come down. So Ashri, Velitzion, and Aleinu. So I don't know if you noticed that, but you're rushing your Yiridas HaShefa when you're running out of davening like that. He's always very quick when it comes to psukim and Divrei Chazal. On the spot, he had a certain koyach ruach hakodesh to come up with answers and understandings. So there was once a yid who was a maser, a shtickle. He wasn't, I don't know if he was mamash a maser, but he was a very wealthy person. He had a lot of influence. And there was a certain tzara, and he was very close yidid with Yitzchak Vorker. And they were together in many nyanim when it came to Yanni Haklal. And a certain gzeira that was passed by the rulership, by the authorities, and this yid, his name was Epstein. So he was able, he wasn't a higher person, he was a very wealthy person, very modern, and they thought that he could be helpful in this situation. So they had heard that Rabbi Yosef Baruch Epstein, the Gita Yid, I don't know if we spoke about the Gita Yid yet, I don't think so. He was the son of the Mor B'Shemesh. They said that his last name was also Epstein, so stomach's related. They checked into it. Yeah, Taki's related. So they asked him if he would go and help and speak to his Karov to see if he could. So he said, "Whatever you say, Rebbe, I'll do, sure." And then he thought to himself and he said, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if it's such a covered for my father, the Mor B'Shemesh, that I should use his name in order to, with this yid, and he didn't think that it would be so, like kibirav and to do that. So he tried to excuse himself. But he asked Rabbi Chatzkel if it was the right thing to do. So right away, Rabbi Chatzkel said to him, Shtein Pasuk. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh al Melech Edar. That Moshe sent Malachim, Shaluchim, from Kadesh to the king of Edom, saying, Koy Amar Achicha Yisrael. So says your brother Yisrael. So you see in the Pasuk that Edom, Esav, is being referred to as Achicha Yisrael. So you see that Moshe had an inyan for Klal Yisrael, and he wasn't shy, and he wasn't concerned to refer to Esav as Achicha Yisrael. So here too, you shouldn't have any worries about it. And he accepted that, and right away he went, and he was able to be poyeshuas. This Yid, Rabbi Ari Mordechai Rabinowitz, said the following story. He says that when he was younger, so there was he was 15 years old when this maisa happened. There was a certain magefa in the city of Kashmir. And Hasidim from the nearby town, he was living in the city of Zvelin, and he went together with a group of Hasidim to go and to take Rabbi Chatzkel from Kashmir out of the city of Kashmir, where the magefa was, and to bring them to their city. So when the Rebbe agreed to do so, but like many Rebbes and Tzaddikim, he had to look in the sefer first to see if it was if Min HaShemayim they were masking. So he opened up a Gemara, sat out on Gemara, and he understood from his learning that he shouldn't go. So he sent all the Chassidim home, and he said, I'm staying here. And everybody went to say goodbye to Chatzkel ben Kashmir. And the Tzaddikim say that a special Ruach HaKodesh he had when the Chassidim would come to say goodbye to him, there was always unusual things which happened. He had an inyan. So this Rabbi Mordechai came and he said farewell to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe held his hand and said, you're staying here. So he said, but Rebbe, I'm only 15 years old, I'm afraid of the machla, you know, we came just to bring you back, but for me to stay here. So the Rebbe said, you stay here, I give you a havtacha that as long as you don't leave my house, you'll be fine. So for the next 3 weeks, he didn't leave the house. He stayed in the house together with the Rebbe, and everything was fine. But because the Rebbe was quarantining, people were coming, they were giving their kvitalich to the Rebbe through the window. And he became a shtickle gabbai since he was there, all that time. He would help out the Rebbe with his inyana. So there was a woman who came, and she said, Rebbe, she said, my child is sick. And he needs a Yeshua, urgently. And this was like her sixth child who was sick, who had passed away. And she handed the kvittel to the Rebbe. And she handed the kvittel to the Rebbe, and he would tell this Rebbe Ari Mordechai where to put it, which table to put it, either on the right table or the left table. And he started to see, as things went on, the right table was the one for Yeshua's, and if a paper made its way to the left table, it wasn't good. So the Rebbe took the kvittel, after her sixth child had passed away, this is her sixth child, he told him to put it on the left table. So he put it on the left table. Nebuch, the child passed away. A couple weeks later, the woman came back again and said, Rebbe, another child, mama's sick, I don't know what to do. Rebbe, please, please. And she begged and she cried. And she handed the kvittel to the Rebbe for the seventh child. And he told Rabbi Mordechai, put it on the left table. Didn't have the heart to do it. So he put it on the right table. And then, after some time went by, so the Rebbe pulled him into his office, and he said to him, he said, you should have never put it on the right table. He says, you know what I had to do to save your life? You know what I did to save your life because you put it on the right table, not the left table? He says, not only did he save his life, he saved the baby's life too. He says, never ever again. You don't even know what type of sakanas you're doing when you don't listen to what I tell you to do. Learned his lesson. Once on Chag HaShavuos, the Rebbe was taking some time to come to the Tish, and people were getting a little bit antsy. There was one chassid, his name was Isser HaKoyen, Reb Isser, one of the big chassidim, who even was traveling to the Rebbe from Lublin. He was an old chassid. So in the middle, while everybody was waiting for the Rebbe to come, so he dozed off, put his head on the table. And he saw in his dream that there was a whole commotion going on in Shemayim. All the malachim were scurrying around and they were like, no, what's going on over here? What, we have to sing Shira, it's Shavuot, it's Shira, Shira. Everybody's getting all antsy. So everybody's asking each other, what's going on, what's going on? So one of the malachim said, what do you mean? The Kozhnitzer, no. The Rebbe from Kozhmir, he hasn't made Kiddush yet. Not, what do you mean? What do you, relax. When the Rebbe makes Kiddush, then we'll start to sing Shira. So after that, he woke up and he was in shock. And so right after that, the Rebbe comes in and he picks up the Kiddush cup and he goes, okay, so they waited a little bit. So the Rebbe said, looked at him and said, made Kiddush. His son, he had very great sons, doesn't say which one here, but one of his sons, he once asked him, he says, the Medid of Deutschland, he said, in that Kufa there was a very modern, the Chassidim always saw it as being very modern. So he asked his father, he said, in what schus does Deutschland, do they have a kiyum? Who's the tzaddik who keeps it? From what I see, there's mamish no tzaddikim there. So his father didn't answer him. It happened that there was a whole series of events that he got into a certain disagreement with a guy, and he needed to run, and it was Erev Chag HaSukkos, and he came into the Beis Medrash over there in Deutschland, and he was hoping that somebody would invite him for Suda. You know, a guest comes into Shul, you know, you notice, and you ask him to come for a meal. So it was Yontif, the night of Yontif, and he was waiting after davening, before davening, nobody said anything to him. So there was a gabbai who was walking around late, and then he asked the gabbai, is this it? Am I sleeping in the Shul? Is there nowhere I can go for a Suda? So the gabbai didn't invite him. He says, but there is a yid who's probably going to come in here later. You can ask him when he comes in. So a certain yid walks in, and Marv is over. He's davening b'yichidus, and he goes to the omen and he goes v'hu racham mechaper avayin. And then the son, he says, what are you doing? It's yontif. You don't say v'hu racham on yontif. This is not v'ach davening. This is yontif. So he says, oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. So he starts to daven like he switches and he starts to daven yontif, and he says, would you want to come to my house for a suda? So he invites him to come, and he says, okay, you know, he's going to sit with an Amoritz. You know, he doesn't even know what's Yantiv. He comes in late, doesn't even know if it's Yantiv. So he comes to his sukkah, and he walks into the sukkah, he sees this beautiful aura, he sits down, he turns to his head, and he says, Shalom Aleichem, Reb Avram, Shalom Aleichem, Reb Yitzchak, Shalom Aleichem, Reb Yaakov. People were at the table, and he says, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. So he thought to himself, maybe, you know, this is not a regular person, maybe Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, I know those names. So when he comes back home to his father, so his father, before he could say anything, his father says, so now you know on who Deutschland stands on. Now you know who Deutschland stands on. He was able to make a whole sieve of events to make sure that he, oh, now you know Deutschland. Never judge a book by its cover. Once came to Warsaw, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Chatzkel from Kozhmir was also in the city, and Rabbi Kiva Eger was senior from Rabbi Chatzkel. And Rabbi Chatzkel wanted to come to see Rabbi Kiva Eger. And he said to his people, he said, come, let's be makabel the Pnei Tzadik Ador, Kiva Eger. So they went, and he gave his hand to Rabbi Kiva Eger. And when he gave his hand to Vikiga, Vikiga didn't let go of his hand. He squeezed it very tight. He knew that there was something about this yid. He didn't know, he was very young. Well, he was building an oilam, he held his hand, he wouldn't let go. He said to him, who are you? Chatzkel said to him, I'm of those which it says in the Mishnah, called Hamakabal Allah of all Torah, Mavirun Allah of all Mahus. Didn't give say his name, that's what he said. I'm of those of which it says in the Mishnah, if you makabal upon yourself all Torah, then Hashem takes away the all malchus. Akiva Eger was very intrigued by that answer. And he said to him, well, tell me, what's pshat in Chazal, ezuhu chasid hamis chasid in kainai? The whole thing is very strange. So tell me what pshat in ezuhu chasid hamis chasid in kainai? Who is a chasid? He who does chasidus with his creator. So he said to him on the spot, he says, hamis chasid in kainai. But it means that if a person has in yonim of chasidus, of lifnei meshuras hadin, which he does, he only does it in a way that Hashem should see, nobody else should see. That's called hamis chasid in kainai. So he let go of his hand, and he was very pleased with that answer. And as Rabbi Chaskel, you know, bade farewell to Rabbi Akiva Eger, he was walking towards the door, he turned around, and he said to him three times, Hajin alach Rabbi Akiva, Hajin alach Rabbi Akiva, Hajin alach Rabbi Akiva. Whatever that means, Mamish Seidisli Reyov. As I state, that's what it says. That was the interaction between Rabbi Chaskel and Kozhra, and Rabbi Akiva Eger. One was one last thing. So there was a Yid who sat and he learned Torah for many years, and he decided that he didn't want to sit and learn so much. I'm not sure if it was because of lachatz of parnasa, for whatever reason. He was sitting and learning in Koilul, and now he was going out to work, so he came to the Mechatzko for Abrecha. And he sent him to the following thing. He says, when a Yid gets called up to the Torah, and he makes Abrecha, Asher bachar banu, shenasan lanu. So the halacha is that afterwards, when you do hagba, he says you're supposed to turn the Torah to a place where you could see the stitches. And he said that the pshat is like this: that when you open up the Torah, that's a person's connection to Torah. He's in front of the sefer, he's learning, he's involved in his avodas Hashem. But when you close the Torah and you're going to lift it up, he says, closing the Torah means that you're going out to work. He says, but when you close the Torah, you have to close it in a way that you can see the stitches. Why? Because even when in the places where the Torah is stitched up, you can still see that there's some cracks in the stitches. It doesn't completely close it up. He says, wherever you do, wherever you go, you always have to find the light which is shining through the cracks. That's what he said. Even when you close the Torah, you have to always find the cracks within the stitches of Torah. That's your avodah. That's what he said. That was his chizuk to such a yid. Always find Torah wherever you go. Torah should illuminate your life. Wherever you go, there's going to be Torah there. Look for the cracks and let that lead you in your life.